Der Energy Outside Zone Talk, presented by Empire Chronicles. Touchdown 49ers.
Hallo und willkommen zum Niner Empire Outside Zone Talk, presented by Empire Chronicles. Ich bin wieder euer Michael und heute haben wir einen speziellen Gast. Diese Show wird in Deutsch und Englisch sein, also nicht wundern. Unser Gast ist Scott Gielen. Hallo Scott.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. As good as you can be in this very strange time.
Yeah. Okay, Scott, tell us a bit about yourself. Erzähl uns ein bisschen über dich.
So I'm a law student in the UK at the moment, and I, on the side of that, when I'm not studying, which isn't as often as I probably should be, I write about the 49ers and also soccer, so the real football.
I see. So how did you become a 49ers fan?
So I was actually, it was a Bleacher Report article that I read, and as I'm a Liverpool football fan, it suggested that as I'm a Liverpool football fan, I should support the 49ers, given their similar sort of historical trajectories. The 49ers having been historically good in the same way as Liverpool, and then dropped off a little bit, and then and now obviously both teams are now picking up, so the trajectories seem to be similar once again.
How did you become a 49ers writer?
And so the writer side was just, I think I was interested in becoming a sports journalist when I was at university, and I was basically told if you want to be a sports journalist, the best thing you can do is write essentially as much as you can, get a platform. And I was lucky enough to, I just put a post on Niners Nation actually in the fan post section, and it was proved to be quite popular, and it ended up on the main site. And then the boss of Niners Nation, Fuchs, reached out to me and asked if I wanted to write a little bit more often, and I took him up on the offer, and it's been going well ever since.
That sounds cool. Also mit den letzten beiden Fragen habe ich ihn gefragt, wie er ein 49ers-Fan geworden ist und wie er angefangen hat, dazu zu schreiben. Scott, last season was almost a full success. We were only 10 minutes short. Letzte Saison war überragend, am Ende fehlten 10 Minuten. What went wrong in those 10 minutes? Was lief in diesen 10 Minuten schief?
I think they just weren't clinical enough. I think they had the Chiefs over the barrel in Q3. I think that's one thing that's kind of been ignored, is that the defense was holding pretty firm, and I didn't think the 49ers offense were quite effective enough when the Chiefs defense was struggling to contain them, and didn't take advantage of their opportunities in the third quarter. And then you roll into the fourth quarter and the offense was completely stymied. I thought there were some poor reads from Garoppolo, some poor throws. Generally, I think, you know, not ununderstandably, guys tightened up when the lights were brightest. People made some poor decisions. And then obviously on the defensive side of the football, the one big play, Wasp, the extra long drop by Mahomes ensured that the pass rush didn't get home, and there was a coverage bust on the 49ers' right side. Emmanuel Mosley just didn't quite drop into his zone properly, and it allowed the Chiefs to get Tyreek Hill one-on-one with Jimmy Ward in space, which, you know, Jimmy Ward's been excellent, or was excellent last season, but the reality is when you're one-on-one in space against Tyreek Hill with a two-way go, that's curtains. And then after that, I think the Chiefs had the momentum. People talk about momentum, whether it's real or not, but I think the 49ers certainly were low on confidence. The offense was continuing to fail to execute, and then the Chiefs' offense sort of had their tails up and drove down and won the game.
Yeah. Can you give me the reasons for our success in the last season? Kannst du mir die Gründe einmal zusammenfassen für unseren Erfolg?
I think that sort of the team really found its identity. It was the third year of the rebuild. The signings and draft picks started to kind of complement each other very well. Kyle Shanahan's system was obviously, I think, functioning kind of at a very, very high level, despite the fact that perhaps the talent level on offense wasn't as good as it could have been, which I'm sure we'll talk about when we talk about the draft as it's coming up. And then obviously the big thing was that the offense, having been pretty effective for the first two seasons, then stepping up, and then the defense went from being quite a poor unit and being fairly inconsistent to being one of the best units in the NFL. And that was primarily the pass rush being very impressive. And I think also the likes of Fred Warner took a step, and then the safety pairing of Tart and Ward, especially Tart when he was in there, and showing that there weren't too many coverage busts on the back end, and kind of perhaps covering slightly for the lack of quality at one cornerback position, and the pass rush and the communication coming from the middle of the field, Warner, Tart, and that group helping to make the 49ers defense into one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, you already dived in my next question. Which strengths and weaknesses do you see, and how do we improve the latter? Welche Stärken und Schwächen hast du gesehen, und wie verbessert man letztere?
Yeah, so I think strengths-wise, obviously the offensive scheme is one of the best in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan is very, very good at creating favorable matchups for his receivers by reducing the impact of press coverage through tight splits. He uses motion to give Jimmy Garoppolo easy pre-snap reads on coverage. His run game is very, it has sort of many complementary moving parts to it as well. So defenses are always slightly off balance when they're playing against the 49ers offensively, which is a massive strength that you have is when you have a play caller who's as talented as Kyle Shanahan and has such a grasp of fitting everything together. It means that even if you're slightly less talented at the skill positions and even at quarterback than other teams, you can have a top five offense in the NFL. And then on defense, clearly we've spoken that the pass rush, Nick Bosa's arrival was just enormous. And I also think Dee Ford as well, adding those two guys on the edge, meant that Arik Armstead could kind of explode on the inside as well. I thought guys like DJ Jones, Ronald Blair, DeMontre Moore in the limited snaps that he played all showed that they had a role in the rotation. The 49ers probably have, or at least had, the best defensive line in the NFL last season. And then when you also consider that Fred Warner might have become one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL with the way he understood quarterback drops, zone progressions, route progressions, his zone spacing, he was able to take away on certain routes, on certain plays, you could see he took away the first read and then the second read. And then also behind him, I think Tart and Ward are also big strengths of the defense. So I think the 49ers defense is a very strong kind of core through the middle of the field, a very strong spine. And then the offense has got obviously a great coordinator and then talent up front, and then guys like George Kittle, who are obviously the best at their position. So the 49ers have a lot of very high caliber talent in a lot of very important positions. As far as weaknesses, I think it'd be fair to say that it is the product of the roster building. As I said, that the 49ers have built a very strong spine through the middle. That was the intent, I think, when you see the draft picks in early rounds have been generally along the defensive line, on the offensive line. They've spent a lot of money bringing in guys like Weston Richburg on the offensive line as well. And then they probably sacrificed roster building at a couple of spots. So I'd say right cornerback, they haven't really attacked. And that's now starting to show. And then also wide receiver, I think they've tried to go to improve that position, but they've so far been reasonably unsuccessful through the draft. And I'm sure that's something that I'm sure they'll look to look at and build on this season.
Okay. The 49ers have been rather inactive in free agency due to the limited cap space. Only the contract extensions of Armstead, Ward, and the Buckner trade had some impact. Some players got renewed contracts. The 49ers waren recht inaktiv in der free agency aufgrund des geringen Cap-Space. Nur die Verlängerung von Armstead, Ward sowie der Buckner-Trade haben für Aufsehen gesorgt. Mit einigen anderen Spielern wurde der Vertrag verlängert. My first question is, will the Buckner-Trade haunt us? Or can you see the logic in it? Wird der Buckner-Trade uns schaden oder kannst du die Logik sehen?
I don't think it will haunt the team because of the fact that it was essentially a situation whereby the 49ers were always going to lose one of Buckner or Armstead this season. And the money that Buckner was looking for was essentially defensive tackle market resetting money. It was kind of we've seen Aaron Donald get paid a substantial amount of money, but really, into other than Donald, defensive tackles were being paid $17.5, $18 million per year. And then Buckner was obviously looking for an excess of $20 million, was looking to move up towards the Aaron Donald contract. And once that starts happening, you then have to start looking at, well, how much is that going to stop you from paying other potentially more valuable positions down the line? And I think, given the 49ers probably looked at their safety situation and thought that Jimmy and the thought about the coverage versatility that Jimmy Ward offers, and also Arik Armstead coming back, I think it did actually make some sense to move on from Buckner at that moment. I think Arik Armstead essentially got reasonable expected defensive tackle money. He got that kind of in that Grady Jarrett range. So that was, I thought, a very reasonable contract for him based on what he'd shown in last season in particular. But also, I think throughout his career, he's shown he's been a very effective interior pass rusher and interior run defender when he's had to be. So I think he can replace Buckner. And then it's ultimately about distributing resources more evenly through the team to add players to keep on retain other guys that they're able to do.
Okay. Was it the right move to extend with Armstead and Ward? War es richtig, mit Armstead und Ward zu verlängern?
I think so. I think when you consider the context of that Buckner contract, when you consider the relationship obviously that Ward has with Jacoski Tart at safety, and also the coverage versatility that Jimmy Ward provides, I think what Ward showed last year was the fact that he was able to play as a deep centre field free safety. He was able to play as a two-high safety. He was also able to play in the box as both a zone and man coverage defender. And I think really importantly, he was able to actually cover wide receivers in man-to-man, which allowed Robert Saleh to be one of the most, run one of the most well-disguised defences in the NFL. Because when you have a safety who can cover wide receivers, if teams are motioning to try and get coverage tells, and your coverage players don't have to follow people, they can just bump the coverage. Jimmy Walken, if a wide receiver moves from outside to inside, and you end up with Richard Sherman on a tight end and Jimmy Ward on a wide receiver, the 49ers don't have to switch out of man coverage or don't have to reveal that they're in man coverage there. They would look like they're in zone. And I think that's something that Jimmy Ward offers, and I think he showed his qualities. So I'm very glad that they re-signed him. And I also think that obviously Arik Armstead showed he could be a very effective pass rusher, especially when he was bookended by Dee Ford and Nick Bosa. So I'm glad that they re-signed them both, and I actually think that being able to bring them both in, given the dearth of draft picks that the 49ers have this season, I think it was a very valuable move to bring them back. And obviously the fact that they were able to add a first-round pick for Buckner and potentially address a couple of other holes on the team makes that move all the more effective and all the more reasonable.
Yeah, regarding Ward, last season, before the season, you made a video at YouTube concerning our safeties. In comparison now, did he improve to what you said in that video?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Wait a second. The German part? Wegen Ward, du hast letztes Jahr ein Video gemacht vor der Saison und hast da über unsere Safeties gesprochen, unter anderem über Ward. Hat sich verbessert seit dem letzten Video?
Yeah, he did actually. I think from memory, what I said in the video was that he obviously had played too much deep safety in his college career and in his NFL career, and he had some growing pains at the position, especially with some of his reads and some of his footwork. I thought that improved. I also thought the 49ers used him very intelligently. They actually played Tart as a free safety more than Jimmy Ward. Especially in kind of quite important situations, Tart was often the deep safety because he's shown better footwork, he's shown better route reading from that position. And then that enabled Ward, I think, to maximise his capabilities as an underneath zone defender, utilising his quickness, utilising his tackling ability. And also Ward played a lot of quarters too high safety in college. And that, again, the 49ers scheme reflected that and suited that. So I actually think that I think Ward did live up to my expectations and actually exceeded them. I thought he was very impressive at the safety position last season. And I'm, you know, hopefully he can continue to stay healthy and can continue to excel on the back, because I think that gives the 49ers one of the best and most versatile safety duos in the NFL, if him and Tart can stay healthy.
Yeah. Our offense line. Mike Person left, and do you think Brunskill will be now our starting guard after Person left? Wird Brunskill jetzt unser Starter, nachdem Person gekündigt wurde?
I certainly think it's a possibility. We didn't see that much of Brunskill at guard last season, but he had one of his best games of the season at guard. And I think it was the 49ers offensive line coach, whose name I can't exactly remember. I think it might be John Benton. He said that he thought that Brunskill's future may well be inside. And I certainly think that they'll give him the option and the opportunity to win that job now that Mike Person has moved on. Fortunately for the 49ers, guard is normally a position that you can address later in the draft and find starting caliber talent. And I think what the 49ers kind of look for with the quickness, especially in the run game, they may well be able to find themselves a talented guard lower down that has kind of athletic capabilities that can either rival Brunskill in the short term or potentially grow into the role in the future. So I think Brunskill will certainly be given the opportunity, but I also think there's a good chance that the 49ers address the position in the draft as well.
Yeah. Some info, our offense line coach is John Benton. John Benton is our offense line coach. Okay. Now we're starting with the last block for tonight. Draft week is finally here. Endlich ist Draftwoche. Due to the Buckner trade, we got now two first-round picks, the 13th and the 31st. Durch den Buckner trade haben wir jetzt zwei first-round picks. Den 13. und den 31. My first question is, Lamb, Judy, or Ruggs? Who will be our wide receiver if we pick one? Lamb, Judy, oder Ruggs? Wer wird es sein, falls wir einen wide receiver draften?
I would personally like to see Jerry Judy. I think when you look at their all three players' college usage and how they were, what they were asked to do by their coaches in college, I think Jerry Judy, he looks like the cleanest fit actually in the 49ers offense. I think the other two players were kind of spent most of their time outside the numbers. I think their transition to the 49ers scheme probably wouldn't be as seamless as Jerry Judy's would. I think he was another play receiver who ran a lot of routes from tight splits, who wasn't asked to play against press coverage too much, which again is not something that Kyle Shanahan requires of his wide receivers. And I think his route running prowess is the type of weapon that can really take the 49ers offense efficiency to the next level. And I think Kyle Shanahan would see kind of someone with the route running talents of Jerry Judy and want to add that type of player to his offense to kind of just open things up a little bit, to force cornerbacks to really respect the two-way go, to force cornerbacks to respect his route running ability. And then that will then open things up underneath as well for the likes of George Kittle, Debo Samuel, who we know are very, very talented yards after the catch receivers. And I also think the main issue I have with Ruggs in particular is just, it's something that I know Eric Crocker has spoken about at length. And it's essentially that despite being a real kind of speed guy, Ruggs just, even in college, didn't show consistently the ability to threaten the top cornerbacks at college level with that speed. And I think the 49ers would be concerned that by making that move into the pros, how much would Ruggs' speed threaten NFL corners? Would he be able to bring that to bear on a regular enough basis? Or would you be, by drafting him so high, would you be risking having to kind of ask Henry Ruggs to do a lot of the things that he didn't do in college, and then also if he's struggling to bring his speed to bear, you know, how seamless would his transition be to the 49ers scheme? So I think for me, Judy would probably be my number one option, followed by CeeDee Lamb, but Judy is certainly my favorite option for the 49ers at 13.
Yeah, some of our Niner Empire Germany analysts say that Judy reminds them of a young Emmanuel Sanders. Einige unserer 49er-Spezialisten in dem Niner Empire Germany sagen, dass Judy sie an einen jungen Emmanuel Sanders erinnert.
I think that's a really good comparison. I think you just have to look at the 49ers going after Emmanuel Sanders last season to see the value that Kyle Shanahan attaches to that kind of route running ability. I think there were moments in Super Bowl where Emmanuel Sanders was the only guy running a route and he was getting open despite having two or three guys covering him. And I think that kind of consistency, that kind of consistent quality is the type of thing that Jimmy Garoppolo will really benefit from someone like Jerry Jeudy. The ability to rely on one receiver to consistently get open, to run the right route against the coverage look, I think is something that will elevate Jimmy Garoppolo's play and ensure that he can kind of continue to be one of those quarterbacks who may not be the best in the NFL, but he can be the type of guy that can get you to a Super Bowl if he has the right weapons around him.
Do you see other possibilities rather than wide receivers? Siehst du andere Alternativen?
I do. I think, and there's been talk about defensive tackle of late. I don't think that is a particularly significant possibility. My theory is that they're trying to force someone below them to trade up, ideally to push a wide receiver down the board, because we also heard that they were linked to Sue. And I just don't think that the 49ers would have been in on Sue based on their kind of the team culture that they're trying to create. I don't think he's an obvious fit. I also think the decision not to sign Butner, I think it would be an unusual move, given they also have the likes of Solomon Thomas, given they also have the likes of Kevin Givens, DJ Jones, Kentavious Street, Julian Taylor in the building. It would be an unusual move to bring another defensive tackle in at 13. I do think that offensive tackle could be an option. We've heard the rumours that Joe Staley may be thinking about retiring. Excuse me. And we also think that there's also a possibility, I think, that cornerback could be on the cards as well. If someone like Jeff Okuda or CJ Henderson, falls in the draft.
Okay, we come to our second pick in the first round, the 31st. Will we pick a player at 31st or will we rather trade for more picks? Also jetzt reden wir über den 31. Pick. Werden wir diesen Pick benutzen, um jemanden zu holen, oder werden wir traden?
It will obviously depend to an extent on who's there, but I think in all likelihood they'd be keen to trade back. I think adding more kind of second day two and potentially even day three picks by moving back in the draft would be a desirable outcome for the 49ers. I think the thing they have to think about is that pick, the ability to have a player on a 5-year contract is perhaps less desirable for the 49ers than it is for other teams. Someone who's interested in a quarterback, someone who's in the midst of a rebuild, one of the teams picking in the early second round who understand that they're kind of looking at a 3 or 4 to 5 years rebuild job, they're much more interested in that extra first round pick and that 5-year contract than the 49ers are, who have to realistically be looking at this year and saying this could be our final year of this kind of really, really good Super Bowl window that we're in. And of course they can maintain their performances at a high level, but in more likelihood they've probably got 1 or 2 years left with a significant portion of this roster. Historically NFL teams' windows don't stay open for more than 1 or 2 years after they make the Super Bowl. So the 49ers, I think, would be wise to potentially move down from 31, unless there's a really elite talent, add a few more guys, and then try and add to draft a couple more players to fit a couple more of the holes that they may have. For example, an interior offensive lineman, someone like Cesar Ruiz, potentially another depth player along the defensive line, particularly at edge. Maybe a safety as well to back up Ward and Tart. So I think the 49ers would be wise to try and move back, add more picks, not just to add more talent, but ultimately potentially to aid them reloading in a year or two time when more people leave and reload and then get back into the Super Bowl window instead of potentially falling off a cliff.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room, Corona.
Oh, yes.
Do you think we will see a season after all this year? Lass uns mal über Corona reden. Meinst du, wir werden dieses Jahr noch eine Saison sehen?
I hope so. Obviously, America is a strange place. You hear about the Florida governor opening up the state for sports, essentially, potentially without fans. It was really an interesting thing earlier, which was talking about how so much of college football's revenue comes from ticket sales, that without being able to have fans in the stadiums, college football probably can't run. But what that would mean is that there are a lot of empty stadiums, potentially, that NFL teams could have matches in. And if the NFL did want to do something like play in front of empty stadiums, where given a lot less of their revenue comes from ticket sales, they probably could do it. They could probably, for example, have the NFC West could play, all be in close proximity, quarantining themselves in Los Angeles, quarantining themselves in or somewhere like Texas or Florida, and actually play all their games sort of 1 week after another against each other, and then move somewhere else to play against other teams. And doing that, I think the NFL is the type of organization that would try something like that, almost like a World Cup, where everyone goes and stays in hotels and that's how they get the season done. It's really impossible to tell. I think the harder thing may well be is what happens to NFL contracts? What happens to player contracts if the season doesn't get played? What does that mean for the 49ers window? Do the likes of Richard Sherman, Jaquaski Tartt, K'Wan Williams, whose contracts are expiring, do they leave, or do they have to have another season for the 49ers? Lots of questions to be answered, I think. But I certainly think if there was an organisation and there was a country that were going to be able and willing to get sports on, I think it would be the NFL and I think it would be the USA.
Yeah. One of the biggest questions this year is, will we see Joe Saleh for another year, or will he retire? Eine der größten Fragen dieses Jahres, werden wir Joe Saleh noch sehen oder wird er in Rente gehen?
I hope so. I hope we do. Obviously, last season he got injured a couple of times. That may not have helped in terms of keeping and persuading him to stay. I think his performance didn't seem to drop off notably. I think they do have a successor, though. I think they obviously have Mike McGlinchey in the building. They have potentially Daniel Brunskill. I think it would be a big blow, though, given the Emmanuel Sanders trade and him not being here and the picks they expended. If they were to lose Staley, I think that would open up a fairly significant hole on the roster that they perhaps would struggle to fill at this point and at this notice. And if they were to fill it, then they would be continuing to leave some of the other holes that we've spoken about open. So I certainly hope that Staley returns, but obviously he's had a great career. He's been a great servant to the 49ers franchise, and very much a one franchise player. So if Joe Staley were to decide that he's kind of his journey has run its course, I think 49ers fans would just have to be immensely grateful to everything that he's done, and kind of, I suppose, wish that the team had been able to repay him with a ring this season.
Yeah, I hope we see him too. We're now at the end of our show today. I would say thank you to my guest, Scott.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Me too. It's fine to finally have someone who is not German with a lot of knowledge.
Well, I don't know about a lot, but I do my best.
This is our first non-German episode, so we will open this episode to the Niner Empire GB as well. Okay, ich habe mich gerade von Scott verabschiedet und er hat gesagt, dass er sich freut, hier gewesen zu sein. Es hat Spaß gemacht. Dann habe ich ihm gesagt, dass es uns auch Spaß gemacht hat, also mir. Und dass diese Folge in zwei Sprachen verfügbar sein wird und auch im Niner Empire Great Britain verfügbar sein wird. Okay, dann möchte ich mich von euch verabschieden da draußen. Wir hören uns beim nächsten Mal und denkt dran, uns überall zu folgen. Bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook @49ersEmpireGER. Bis zum nächsten Mal, euer Michael. Tschüss!
It's an empire, not a nation.